Grace Hour Show, everyone. This is a Christian program. We're going to talk about a few things that relates to our challenges and helps us learn how to operate as believers in Jesus in a practical way. I'm Steve Androlonis, one of the pastors here at Greater Grace Church. With me is Pastor Tom Schaller, the pastor, senior pastor here at Greater Grace Church. And we're talking about practicality in evangelism. We've been talking about evangelism through the week, but today we'll be talking about practical ways to tell people about Jesus. And I guess the scripture verses to think about that is how Jesus instructed his disciples toward the end. We call this, this come known as the Great Commission's go and make disciples in all nations. And what does that mean? And what are some things that we can do to share our faith? Do you share your faith? I guess that's a question you can ask yourself as you're listening. We're sorry for a little bit of a late start today, but we've got things in order now. And you can share your thoughts via the internet there, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. You can post your comments there. Also, you could call us if you like. 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number if you'd like to use that number. Also, 410-483-3700 is a number for you to use if you'd like to make your voice heard on the program here. So the Grace Hour Show, evangelism, practical ways we can share Christ in our daily life. I've read a book recently. This is an interesting quote from this book. It's a novel called Gilead. It's about a pastor who's talking to his son. And he made this statement. He said, any human face has a claim on you. Which is kind of interesting. Do we enter our days like that? Any human face has a claim on you. It has something to do with the incarnation, which is, and you feel your obligation to any human face that you might meet. And you can recognize their courage and their loneliness. Do we see that? Maybe that's a mindset. Maybe that answers one question about how do we approach the way that we go through our daily lives. Do we see that every face that we have is, you know, is worth talking to? What do you think, Pastor?
Yeah, I like that sentence. It's a good one. People are made in the image of God. When we make eye contact or face-to-face contact, we have some accountability to each other. It's kind of written in life, but we also know that people are occupied with themselves. They have their own problems. They are distracted by many things. But I like that as a starting point, that I could be open to relate to people, maybe silently acknowledge, you know, a nod of the head or a moment to pause to see if they want to say something to me, like good morning. I mean, this is a stranger, like every face. So, I like it that because of God and the way we are made, and of course being spirit filled, then there is love in our hearts towards people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when we talk about being practical, I think the word is like, do we as a practice see opportunity in every face that we encounter? You know, whether it's if you show up at the, I'll go running at a track and I make it a point to say good morning to everybody that I pass, you know. Mm-hmm. And because most of them are walking, I usually pass everybody because I'm jogging or running. But I try to say good morning to every single person that I go. It's led to short conversations.
Yes.
One kid was there and he's running barefoot. And I, you know, that was an opportunity. So I ran home and got a pair of shoes that I wasn't using, I said, these shoes didn't really work for me, but maybe they'll work for you. And then we had a talk about, you know, about our need to have faith in Christ. And, you know, during the Easter play, I'll have tracts or invitations. I can invite people to something like that. But, you know, maybe you could say, why is it important to, like, sort of put that into our mode of operation? Why should we have that mode of operation in our minds? I guess maybe that's a cold way of saying it, but
the word that you use, I like it, is mindset. Like, what is our mindset? Like, no, we don't need to talk to everybody that we pass, or no, we don't have to make other people our business. No, we don't have to be overly consumed with, like, others in that way. But the mindset is from the Bible, that I was without Christ, and I found Christ and grown in him, and it had a huge impact in my life, in this life and the one to come. So why wouldn't I, out of love, have a mindset for my neighbor? But then, of course, the mindset that we need has to come from the relationship that we have with God. And we can say, Lord, give me that mind and that heart that I would actually care. And then, like, the point of our program today is that not only we would care, but maybe also get some insight on how we initiate conversation and how we become good listeners.
Yeah. Just thinking about it, like, I think there's short-term moments and long-term moments. Okay. Like, short-term, like, you probably remember, you become a believer and you begin to share your faith on the college campus that you're on. And then you go to the Bible college, to the church in Maine that you know, the church that we belong to now. But do you remember that first call to go on, like, to participate in something that we would call a blitz? Like, you know, we're going to go and we're going to just, like, swamp a place with believers bearing tracts or New Testaments or something like that. That's one way. Is it important? I think I know your answer, but why is it important to participate in, like, something that's sort of programmed or planned? How can that help us?
Do you mean also you're with others doing the same thing in the same mind? Okay. Yeah. So we learn in the church. We learn the doctrines. We learn about evangelism and sharing our faith. And then here's the key. We actually execute, you know. Like learning is one thing, executing is more. And so I remember getting in a car or a bus with a group, and then going somewhere with the purpose to share our faith.
Yeah. And that, you know, that kind of, what is it? What's it? That kind of routine or program, some people would dismiss that as maybe not so helpful, but actually it's sort of helpful. It gets us going with people. And I liked it when I started to do that. I liked it that I wasn't really, like, pushed to, like, the person I was with did most of the talking because they had been doing this before. And I wasn't really pushed to, like, you know, jump in. But then at a certain point, then I felt comfortable, for lack of a better word. Like, they ask a question and I had an answer for it. Like, and that can be, you know, going, you know, when Jesus sent out the 70 in the Gospels, they went out two by two. I think they were paired up, you know, How did Jesus pair them up? We don't really know that, but he paired them up and they could, you know, sort of help each other.
You know, what comes to my mind is the idea that the naysayer or the Christian that doesn't do it would say, you know, well, that's a program. But let's explore that for a minute. You have two things. You have a program, and then you have the heart behind the program.
Yeah.
So, like in everything, educationally especially, but work too. Like you, let's say, play the piano. So it's a program. But then what happens when you have a heart for the piano? And you do the program because you have a heart for it.
Yeah.
And you want to play music, and you do, yes, there's training, but there's a time when the heart for the music kind of surpasses the training. The training is instrumental, very important. It's fundamental, but the heart is actually very important. But I don't think one excludes the other.
Yeah,
you know,
I just think, with anything that we do that's meaningful, there are like sort of foundational elements. Like you said, you mentioned the piano. The person who starts playing the piano learns the scales and maybe Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and maybe Chopsticks, these songs that a lot of people can play. They've watched somebody play them. And we dismiss that sort of rudimentary kind of thing as not important later on, but you're right. You don't really get to the sense of you have to find the foundation of, like, you don't like play a sonata or a concerto without learning the basics of that. And so, you know, to use this, to take this analogy that way, to say that a practical way to develop a pattern of evangelism in your life is to be with people in your church and for your church. Our churches have always had this sort of space and time here at Saturday mornings, and some people do it other times, but we've devoted Saturday mornings to an outreach meeting on our campus and then groups going out to various parts of the city and talking to people. And you would visit people in the church, and then you would go next door and knock on the door. And, you know, and we're not promoting any kind of other kind of system. We're not selling a magazine or anything like that. We are just coming to say, how you doing? We'd like to, you got 5 minutes, we can tell you something about it. And don't dismiss those baby steps, basically.
Yes.
A child doesn't run without, like, you know, going from the couch to the coffee table, around the coffee table, and then taking a dozen steps into the arms of dad, and then another 25 steps. And before you know it, they're walking and running and that kind of thing. So, so those are practical things. Do you plan it? You know, do we plan it? Is it important to have a planned or a scheduled time of participation? I think it's useful. We found it useful because it's sort of, you know, and there are days when we wake up on Saturday morning and decide, I think I'd rather turn over, or I'd rather do something else. But, you know, I want to have a planned participation. I think that helps our effectiveness, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, that we, I know your training and my training, I mean, this is 50 years.
Yeah.
Where we learned a way of life. And, you know, could we have learned a different one? Yeah, but I am very happy that in our life we have it, you know, implanted in our hearts that other people are important, people we don't know. Also, they are treasures. Like, people are the greatest thing going on in the world today.
Yeah.
People have, people add a lot to your life. People have interesting stories. People, I mean, never see them again, but everybody has a story. Everybody has value. You know, if you compare a person with an animal or, you know, like mm-hmm. something like that. They can't even compare.
Yeah.
The interesting conversations that you have. And so I'm a real believer in what we believe in, what we are to do with it, which is to lovingly, kindly interact with people that we don't know that are in trouble. There, we know statistically where we are in our culture, and that there are lonely people, there are hurting people, and they're very interesting people that have needs. Mm-hmm. So we are on a mission.
Yeah. So those are the, so that sort of defines like some of the short term things that we do, like beginning next week at our Christian school, we will take a class and we will be with them and we will walk the streets of Baltimore and we will hand out tracts and we will engage people. That way we're trying to put that in them. But there's also, I think, like we talked about this mindset, like seeing faces as having a claim on us, we have a message, but there's the long term. Now in my life, I'm thinking long term. Like I have Tony and Steve. These are guys who work on my car. You know, I bought cars from them. They have been taking care of my car for maybe 15 years. And we've had conversations driving to register a car, asking his guy asks, you know, I think it was Steve. He took me to a place to get a registration for my car. So tell me, Reverend, you know, they use that common term. Can you tell me like, is there any hope for me? Like long term, what's my answer there? I think it's good to have a practice like that, like have an answer. Do I have an answer for him? And like, how could I say to him, it's good to practice. I like to do that in my car sometimes. I just like think what, you know, I think you have to decide that you have to intend to have like sort of an answer when they get those kind of questions. Like my favorite pizza place, there's Maria. She's from Sicily. She came. She's related to the guy who founded the place down on Back River Neck Road. And I go there for, you know, real pizza with real pepperoni. And we went the other night and we took a couple of visitors from Romania. And so there's the conversation going on with Maria. Like I can remember one time we weren't there. My wife and I hadn't been there for a while. And she said, did you move? And so, no, we didn't move. How are you? God bless you. Like, so we've had this conversation over the years. And so when she meets these people from Romania, then she gets, you know, they talk to her about why they're in America, why they're here. And she's listening, you know, attentively. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if you have, like, I have a guy named Ryan now who's serviced my heating and air conditioning units like 4 or 5 times over the past couple of years. And so when he comes, he understands that I'm a believer and we have a little bit of a conversation. And now I don't know whether I am responsible for it, but he has started to attend a church with his wife. You know, it's not our church, but he started to attend a church with his wife. So that's like, those kind of things are like, you know, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a caller here, and I think you know that, you know, David Stanbosky, this pastor, is good at making these kinds of conversations, right? So we're going to welcome Pastor David Stanbosky into our conversation here. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. With me is Pastor Tom Schaller. This is the Grace Hour Show, and Pastor Stanbosky, welcome. We're talking about sharing the faith.
I'm listening, and I'm in awe. It's everything. I think I can amen to everything. I was just sitting here getting my car fixed, and I was thinking this thing that Oswald Chambers said. I don't know where it was, but he said, keep the interest in life going and have nothing folded up. And I think life is interesting, isn't it? And life is filled with surprises. And here we are. You know, for the last 40 years for me and my wife and 40 plus years, and we care about people. And the bottom line is when I open up myself and my heart, and my soul, my motives, everything else to the things that I believe in, I think I turn around and there's a person. And it's how do I engage in conversation? How do I deal with rejection, or how do I look at things from a divine perspective and say, this is a divine moment. This moment-by-moment business that God waters us is real. You know what I mean? And I think wherever I go, like John Knox said, the world is my parish. And I think everywhere I go, I see the need. And you know, I'm not married to my culture, my culture doesn't own me. Christ owns me. So I belong to him. And as I represent him, of course I fail. Of course I'm insecure. Of course I might say stupid things at the right time or the wrong time. But when I leave a person who I've just met, or when I develop a relationship with a person who I'm interested in their life, truly interested, then I just say, wow, I can find God in this, and I can find the Lord's purpose in this relationship. And I love it. It's part of a great part of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Dave, one of the things that we mentioned earlier before the program is that I know we're very kind people and we are sensitive. Like when you're in a conversation with a stranger, you kind of read their body language. You kind of read, like, are they interested? You can read, you know, somebody sitting on a park bench and just saying, they could say, you know, no, thank you. You know, I'm good, or, you know, I don't have time or something. And then also we can read sometimes that the person is really listening and really wanting, you know, they are, and we maybe because you are, that might be what's going on in their life, or it might be that you are giving a good impression to them, that you are relaxed and friendly and this kind of thing. So can you talk about that for a second, like how we could offend somebody or not read their language or feel that, you know, this is not a divine appointment, like this is not appropriate right now. And on the other hand, this is an appropriate time, and I have somebody on the line here.
Yeah, I think God's not in a hurry, and I think we can adopt that philosophy, saying I'm not in a hurry to, you know, win a person, or the fruit of the righteous, the tree of life, and he that catches souls is wise. I'm not looking for a win here. I'm looking for a caught moment, a moment where we could catch each other. You know, Karen and I have a place in a retirement village in Pennsylvania, and it's easy there to talk to people because everyone has one thing in their mind. You know, everybody's old enough to just see the end. And so it's easy to bring up that conversation in a, quote, Christian community. But Micah was telling me, my son Micah, the other night, he came back from swimming at the club, and he said, I met a doctor from Romania who lives in Western Massachusetts. And I said, whoa, divine moment. And did you spend some time? Obviously. And so there are those things that happen, and you know it's right, and you know it's God, and you just have to, you know, you ask God for the right words in the right moment. I read a story about Mark Twain. His wife was learning how to swear, and he didn't like it much. And he says this funny thing to her. He says, you know how to pronounce the words, but you don't know the tune. Hmm. And I think that as cute and clever as that might be, I think it's important that we you know, maybe we have the right word, or maybe we think we know the right word, and that someone else is a million miles away from us and standing in front of us. But I think the Holy Spirit can lead us, and we can be sensitive. I was on Martha's Vineyard last week, and, you know, that place is filled with, you know, the most affluent of the affluent. And yet in the house next to our house, there was about 8 Brazilian people living there who were working there. And I was able in the morning to take one of my grandkids for a walk and meet with them and just have a nice conversation and share some familiar things with them, even though the language barrier was a little bit I was reluctant to go any further, or you really don't know how much you're communicating to someone if there is a language barrier. But the bottom line for me is I think God gave me a love for people, and I love to engage, and I love to be in a place where God could use me to help someone, and that's so vital for our lives that I've been placed on this earth for a certain amount of years, and God's given me something that I'm thrilled with still to this very day. Waking up this morning and saying, "Wow, look at that blue moon set in the west this morning," and I wonder who I could share that with. And here I am, you know, in a conversation with these people at the car dealership about what that means. And who made the moon and all these things. So I think the planting of seeds is the most lucrative way to invest in people's lives.
Thank you. Thank you. Good word.
That is a good word.
Pastor Steve, I have a little book here, and it says 4 deadly questions. When you are... talking to people, and you actually sometimes we have one directional approach. We give mm-hmm. them the message, and it's like one direction. If they have a question, we answer it. And this kind of direct, you know, like, but actually, if we would like them to do the talking when we are like sharing and the questions are, what do you mean by that? So could you imagine when you are talking with somebody in the grocery store, Pastor David just shared, you know, in Martha's Vineyard or at a car, you know, repair shop, and you get into a conversation, you are relaxed, you are communicating. Yeah. It is interaction, people interacting. And you could ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I think the question, like, what do you mean by someone would answer? We get this answer, this response sometimes if we talk to somebody. They say, "I'm a spiritual person. I believe in spiritual things." And then the question is, what do you mean by that? Because we have it, you know, trying to push the conversation. I'm not quite sure there is the kind of God that that's their response. But I am a spiritual person. I'm spiritually minded. And trying to get them to define that is to push the conversation along.
Right.
You know,
right. And of course, they can go off track and they could talk all day long. And
yes.
You know, that can happen too.
You get a certain orientation
type of person.
And, you know.
But maybe a thoughtful, you know, to make them think and define.
Well, it's like if they tell you, like you say, you go up to the person that's at Home Depot, "Are you having a good day?"
Yeah.
"Not really." Well, you know, another way to say it is, "Well, what's wrong?"
Yeah.
Or what do you mean by that?
Or can I do anything for you?
Yeah.
Or, you know, do you need help?
All of these are in that same sort of vein, you know?
Another question you can ask, how do you know that to be true?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, somebody could say, you know, the planet, the earth is flat. They could say, you know, you don't know God. You can't know God. Or aliens are out in the outer space. So, like, how do you know that's true?
Yeah. Well, they would say, I believe this is all there is. Like, that's their saying, you know. Mm-hmm. They would say that our heaven-mindedness is really limiting what we can do to improve this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the question. How do you know that that's true, that there isn't another? What if you are wrong?
Yes.
What if the famous conversation between, I think it's Sam Harris and Rick Warren, they had this, Sam Harris is this one of the new atheists. And, you know, at the very end, Rick Warren said, "Okay, you know, everything that you said about my life, if I just go into the ground and that's it, I've lived this way according to biblical standards. I've had one wife. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm, you know, these things. But, you know, but if I get put into the ground, okay. But if I am right about the next life to come and that there is a presence of God or an absence from the presence of God, if there is an afterlife there, then, you know, you are making a great faith statement that you think that there is nothing to worry about.
Yes. You know, there's a heaven and a hell.
How do you know that to be true? Mm-hmm. Right. That's the big question. How do you know that to be true, that there isn't, you know, because it's only in this like sort of Western consciousness that there isn't anything supernatural. Like if we, you know, in many parts of the world, they believe in supernatural elements.
They do historically. And it's a very, actually a very foolish, C.S. Lewis said that he was an atheist and then he realized that it's derived from his culture.
Yeah.
That he was learning to be an atheist from the culture. And that the majority of the human race, 95-96% of the human race throughout history has believed in God. And I am to say to all those billions of people that they are wrong, right?
Well, that's...
So that was like one thought that came to his mind.
Well, just, you know, yeah.
Then this question, where, like you just said, where do you get your information? Yeah. So we got that question, and then the fourth question is, was that the last one? Yeah. No. What if you are wrong?
Yeah. What if you are wrong?
If you are wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, do you have a plan if you are wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're left, if you exit this life and you're wrong about the next one, where does that leave you? I mean, these are big questions. They stimulate conversations. Like when we talk to, you know, plane trips, when we get to strangers like that, you know, you have sort of a captive audience with the person. If he lets you, he or she lets you, you can have a captive audience and sort of talk those things through. And then like these long-term relationships we have, these conversations come up again, especially with my mechanics. Cause I think they feel a, they feel an obligation to me because I've recommended clients to them. You know, hey, these guys are great. You know, it's like there used to be, it was really kind of interesting. And I was a young Christian at the time, maybe 2 years. And, you know, they created this in Baltimore, this businessman created this book. Like it was a guide so that you could only encounter Christian people and, it just bothered me a little bit, like, okay, I should go to this restaurant because it's owned by a Christian. I should go to this car mechanic because he is a Christian. And I just thought, like, you know, I would never have met these other guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying it's it can be a mindset, like, you know, insulating ourselves.
Yes.
And I read this article. There's this, he's written, his name is Greg Steyer. He's written a couple of books on evangelism and everything like that. They're sort of like, remember Lovett?
Yes.
You know,
C.S. Lovett.
C.S. Lovett had those kind of things. But, and then also
Ray Comfort,
they have, he's written. But the first thing he says, why people don't share the gospel is more a matter of the heart. And it goes with what you shared last night. It's like, he says, you're too short-sighted. It's like, he says, you don't read. He's not talking about earning rewards, but he's talking about the reality of what we believe, like our, like you spoke last night about the concept of eternity and like the opinions and the crying out last night. You can find this message if you're listening at ggwo.org, last night's message from Pastor Schaller. But like, you know, what can we do in our own hearts? Like if we are, if we have, you know, a pattern of meditation on what is to come in our own hearts, do we believe that we're right about what's coming? Maybe that's the question we should ask ourselves every day, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, do we believe it? And the best way, like to, is actually to go to a Bible-believing church and be exposed to the teachings, the doctrines, and that changes your life.
Yeah.
And guides you and governs you in your life. It's not like we wake up every day and we just say, you know, I need to go evangelize my neighborhood. It's not like that. It's more like you learn the word, you learn doctrine, you think about it, Holy Spirit impresses, and then out of love, you end up talking and sharing with people.
Yeah.
And there are things you learn, you know, that open doors for you and people to have connection and communicate.
True. We got another call right here, Pastor Dennis. Okay, we're going to take Pastor Dennis from Albania. Pastor Dennis Hewlett, you are on the air with us. Grace Hour Show podcast.
Yeah. Hey, great topic you got today. I just wanted to touch base and let you know how our summer harvest was, but also in the topic that you're using here. I was at a seminar recently on Islam, and really it was on the history of the religion and the belief systems and how they differ from Christianity, and very informative. And, you know, I can win an argument with a Muslim, but can I win a heart? Is really, where is he coming from? What's his perspective? What's his worldview? Why does he believe what he believes? I really love what you guys were saying today about that topic.
Well, thank you for calling. I always love it, because when I was living in Europe, I would call Grace Hour every once in a while and just be prepared to say something like you just did. It adds to the program. It's great to hear from you, Pastor Dennis. Yeah, when you're evangelizing Muslim people, like there are certain things that you don't say because it just shuts down the conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you can identify with them as just being a regular guy that loves his family, that wants to make some money so he can eat and live and have peace in his neighborhood, and just be like we're all the same in that way, and just relate to him, and then it can open his heart, and then we might say something that provokes him to think.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Right. Yep. Because if we start just from a Christian perspective and just try to reveal to them the ignorance or the error of the religion, you know, it's just, it puts the wall up quickly, and then you get nowhere. I mean, we can talk about the errors in the Quran, they'll talk about the errors in the Bible, we'll talk about the errors in their prophet, they'll talk about the errors in Jesus. And, you know, it can turn into be just he said type situation.
Exactly.
Penetrate with a, like you said, why do we believe this? Where is the, you know, where is the core? What is the premise of our beliefs? Mm-hmm. And dig a lot deeper.
Yeah.
Go ahead. As two people who just want, you know, who are wanting to have a dialogue that can maybe answer some questions, and then suddenly we can, you know, and of course, and I always, in my own mind, in my own heart, when I do evangelism, I always have to remember, and I keep in the front of my mind, it is the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit is doing a work in their heart and their minds, and the Holy Spirit can save a soul. I can't, and my charisma or my intelligence is not going to save a soul. Only God can save a soul.
Yeah.
And pray that the Spirit is doing a work.
Amen. Amen. And it might not happen right in front of you. It'll happen in time, you know, somehow. But we just sow the seed and try to leave them with a good impression, you know, that we're not adversarial, we're not better. Actually, one little thing that we can use in the West or anywhere we go is just have a little funny story that you can share that makes fun of yourself. Like, you know, you can, it breaks down the walls, you know, if you can laugh at yourself. So, you know, I have one where my car wouldn't start. I tried many times. It just wouldn't start. I couldn't get it out of gear and so on. And then, I realized that when I'd stop the car, I'd never put it in park. I put it in drive. So, it just didn't work, but it was a very simple remedy, but it was like, because I'm stupid sometimes, you know? And like when you say, you know, I'm stupid sometimes, and we laugh about it a little bit, I'm laughing at myself, and then they enjoy it too, and they realize that, you know, I'm not trying to be better than them, and I'm not trying to make or prove a point that I'm correct and they are wrong. Yeah. You know, that's so... easy to do, but you'll notice the people that the strangers that you meet that you enjoy being with are people that that are like that. They are people that have no problem talking in real life terms.
Yeah. Hey, just to give you a little update on what we did this August, we had our conference, and we actually had Pastor Sasha from Ukraine with us, Pavlenko and his family. Great time in Albania. And then we went to Bulgaria for a week. And we had Pastor Tomas and Eva, Pastor Tony and Anne-Marie and Jane and I, and some people from Albania. And just had a great time in Sofia and in Plovdiv. So just wanted to give an update on our summer harvest this year.
I did hear about it. I did ask somebody, who was it I asked? And I heard, you know, that you went to Albania. Yeah, I knew. I mean, I'm all about that. I've been there a couple of times, and I know years ago you were thinking of moving there, or you did for a little while, right?
To Bulgaria. That's where we started.
Yeah, you started there and then moved to Albania. But thank you for doing that. That's an answer to prayer. I really believe that's the way we roll. That's a great thing to do. And, we appreciate that. Praise the Lord for that. That's great.
Amen. Yeah, well, it was awesome time. Awesome time. Hey, well, I love you guys. Thank you so much for your prayers, your investment in us. Thank you for home base.
Appreciate this call. It's a very good call. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
We still have Pastor Stan Bosky on the line? Okay. What's that?
No.
He's not there? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we were going to give him an opportunity to say one final word here, but we're going to maybe conclude our podcast today. Really, we would encourage people. I mean, if you are in our neighborhood, Baltimore neighborhood, you could come Saturday morning and join us. We could help you with a practical experience evangelizing in one part of the city. And we have a very needy city, and there's many diverse neighborhoods. You could go to a wide variety of places and knock on a door, share your faith if you've never done it before. And I think you said it from the pulpit recently, that is there anything, you know, more fulfilling than seeing somebody come to Christ? And, you know, are you excited about your faith? Maybe that's where to start. We'd encourage you to be excited about your faith and to see, you know, that we have a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us from above. And so anyway, thank you, Pastor Tom Schaller. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. This is the Grace Hour Show. If you missed any of it, you can find out more and listen to the whole thing at YouTube, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. We'll have another program tomorrow at this time. And if you're in the Baltimore area, we do have Greater Grace Church. We have services 9, 11, and 6:30 on Sundays, and also 7 on Wednesdays. Have a great day, everyone. So long.